Hey, welcome to Morning Manna, another edition with Pastor Greg here in Southern Idaho at Lighthouse Church. We're making our way through the Psalms, and today we have Psalm 15. Psalm 15, which is a Psalm of David. You know, the rabbis taught that there were 613 commandments that needed to be obeyed and followed. Well, Psalm 15 reduces that number to 11. Well, Micah 6:8 actually takes that number and reduces it to 3. Jesus, our Lord, came along and reduced it to 2. There are 2 commandments that we need to obey, and these 2 commandments constitute the fulfillment of all the rest. What we have in Psalm 15 isn't a prescription on how to be saved, but it's rather a picture of what it looks like to be saved. How do we behave after we are saved? Works don't precede salvation. Works flow from salvation. You see, that's the idea. Well, David asks a amazing question in verse 1. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? So after finally bringing the ark to Jerusalem from Kirjath-Jearim, David asked this question: Who gets to dwell there on your holy mountain? Who gets to sojourn in your tent and be there where you are? I mean, this is David's heart, man. He loves the presence of the Lord, and so he's asking, well, who can actually do that? And so, verse 2, he says, he answers his own question: He who walks shamelessly and does what is right. He who walks shamelessly and does what is right. Now immediately we go, okay, so obviously you have to earn your way to be able to be on the holy mountain, to dwell in his tents and so on. Well, if you're someone who has familiarity with the Bible's teaching on how one is right with God, then you'll know that our walk doesn't gain righteousness and earn the favor of God and bring us into right relationship. Rather, our walk follows a right relationship with God, and it flows from being made right in God's sight through faith. So he who walks blamelessly and does what is right is simply saying, in New Testament terms, this is walking in a manner worthy of the calling that's been placed upon your life. But he goes on, he speaks truth in his heart. Now, what a fascinating phrase, truth in his heart. So this person isn't filling his own mind with self-deception and flattering himself and you know, in pride, puffing himself up and has some exalted, you know, self-esteem or anything like that, but speaks truth. That is, connects who he is, the reality of who he is, with the reality of who God is and the Word of God, and orients himself in life based upon the truth. He speaks truth. This is huge, and this is the characteristic, a central characteristic of those who trust in the Lord, is that we are people who walk in the truth. And as we walk in the truth, it makes us free. The more we orient ourselves to reality, the more free we become. And by the way, reality, it wins in the end. It's not changing for anybody. I mean, we're living in a time where people are wanting to create their own realities. Well, you can't. It's a figment of your imagination. Reality just is. And so you can try and change your gender. You can try and change this or that, or buck against you know, what natural law says, but natural law isn't changing. Reality isn't going anywhere. And in the end, reality wins. The person who will dwell in the tents of the Lord, on the hill of the Lord, is a person who speaks truth in his heart, who presses in to what reality is. Well, it goes on, who does not slander with his tongue. That's another evidence of being right with God, is that you refuse to slander people. We live in a day and age where slander is just, it's just commonplace. It's on our TVs and on our computers all the time as you watch the, you know, the cable news or the, I mean, it's just people bearing false witness against each other, slandering as though it were nothing. Not even realizing that they're sinning against a holy God. Not an idle word will be spoken that will not be given an account of, Jesus said. And then he goes on, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. So just isn't interested in taking people down or taking them out. Isn't interested in piling on somebody when they're down. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. Now, this is interesting. We have to think a little bit with some clarity about this. Despising somebody, that doesn't sound congruent with, especially with New Testament thought and Jesus thought. We're supposed to love people and so on. But I think what the psalmist is saying, that there should be a despising of the vileness of a person. Like, we shouldn't exalt someone whose behavior is vile. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for them or want them to come to Jesus and those kinds of things. But we shouldn't take their shameful acts and exalt them, make a poster out of them and put them on our bedroom wall. And so there should be a sense of, man, that's despicable. That kind of behavior is despicable. You know, that kind of a song with those kind of lyrics that objectify women, or those, like, that's despicable. That's the idea. But who honors those who fear the Lord. So this person will exalt those and honor those who are honorable. You know, have the real heroes. that is so virtuous. That is so honorable. That's who I want a poster of on my bedroom wall, you see. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. The person who's walking with the Lord and walking in obedience to the Lord is someone who will keep his word. If I said it, I'm going to do it. Even if it is painful to follow through. My word is my bond. Verse 5, who does not put out his money at interest. So this person will not try and capitalize upon your pain. You're needing money, and so this person won't capitalize upon your condition and make money off of your situation. Nor does not take bribes against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Never be moved. That is a description. Psalm 15 is a description of what a practically righteous life looks like. Listen, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they are forensically, legally justified in the sight of God, even though practically they are not righteous. Practically, they, you, me, have a long way to go. But as we walk with the Lord and walk in obedience, the righteous life, practical righteous life, the righteousness that's been conferred upon us through Christ begins to work its way out. And that's what it looks like to be a person of character and virtue who walks in integrity, And so, listen, be encouraged. You know, the journey of this life as we make our way home to be with the Lord, it's really about, you know, being conformed into the image of Jesus. And none of us have arrived there yet. But forgetting what is past, we move forward and press toward the mark of the upward call in Christ. That's the idea. So hang in there, Kristen. You are loved by God. You are graced by God. You are made righteous by God. Now be encouraged to work that out, to live that out in your life today. Have a good day.